Okay. God bless you all. It's nice to be here together. I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the visible and the invisible audience. I've just arrived in Singapore this afternoon, and I'm glad to be accorded this time to speak and share the word of God with you all. May God richly bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Without wasting much time, we just want to read from the scripture. Maybe today I will not speak much, but there will be a lot of reading of the scripture. So we just want to turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we will read from verses 37 and 38. We read, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Maybe before I speak, let me just read another scripture again in the same book of John. We shall dwell much upon the book of John, the Gospel according to John. We'll read this familiar scripture from John chapter 4. We just want to read verse 22 up to verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 22, we read, "Ye worship, ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Amen. Inclusively read verse 24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have read your word, Father God, and I pray that, Lord, without you, reading is of not much profit. But if thy spirit can come down, anoint the speaker and the hearer, Lord, that may benefit from the presence of your being with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, may I title this, The True Worshippers. Now, the Bible here tells us that God seeks worshippers that they may worship him. And that's the whole purpose of our being called and being put in this position that we are even tonight, that we should worship God. But God seeks worshippers who are true. Now here, it shows that it's very scarce to find true worshippers. That's why God has to seek. He just doesn't look around. He really seeks for those who are of truth. Not just because they are worshippers, but that they are of truth. Not just because they heard or know the truth, but they themselves must be that substance of truth. So worshiping God is the fulfillment or the accomplishment of the purpose of him being worshipped. It's not just a mere reverence or a mere falling before him, but there must be that element of truth. So we just want to maybe stand on that word truth. True worshippers. Now, also, we find in the same book of John, as well, we have read again. Let me just come to this John chapter 18. We'll read John chapter 18 from verse 37. John chapter 18, verse 7. John 18, verse 7. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. John 17, I'm reading John 18. John 17. Verse 37. Okay. My mistake again. It's John chapter 18. And we'll read verse 37. Pilate then said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus said, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear truth, I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate then said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, here the Lord Jesus Christ says, when he was asked the question, are you a king? He said, for that cause he was born and sent into the world, that he may bear witness to the truth. So Jesus Christ, being the manifestation and the express image of God, when he came, as we all know, to redeem his own. He did not come to make or to change or to bring about something that was not already there. He came to redeem. And to redeem is to bring back something that has been lost and left this place and comes to and is brought back to that original place. So he said he was born for that cause, to bear witness to the truth. He had said in John chapter 4, all those who worship God must come to him and worship him in truth. So that's what he came to confirm. That's what he came to show and to prove. Though the world was all in darkness and in the filth of sin, but Jesus Christ came to prove and to show forth that God's truth stands forever. Mm-hmm. And those who are of truth, not just to hear the truth, not just to maybe practice truth, but to be of the truth. So it's the substance of being the truth that can bring one to worship God. So those are the ones whom God is looking for. Those who worship in truth. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, as we all know, in the third chapter of the same book, St. John, when he said, how can I be born again? For Jesus has said, you must be born again. Without that new birth, you can neither understand nor see the kingdom of God. So, birth is not something that is made of man. Birth is the true realization. Birth is the true manifestation of a being or whatever is born, and it is the evidence of life. So he says, those who want to worship me must worship me in truth and in the spirit. And he says, you must be born again. Because he who is born of flesh is flesh and cannot understand the kingdom of God. But he who is born of the spirit understands the spiritual things. Now, if God wants to be worshipped in spirit, then one has got not just to know God in a way that is fleshly, but he must be born again of the same spirit of God, which is the spirit of truth. And we know according to Genesis chapter 1, is it verse 11? It says, every species shall bear of its own kind. So it takes the spirit of God to be born of the same, that you may be spirit. To be of spirit is not just to know that there is a spirit of God, but it is to be born of the same. If you are born of the spirit, that means you are the true, you are the true seed. You are the true manifestation of the essence of God. So when you are born of God, then you can worship God now. For it says, those who worship him must worship in truth and in spirit. And God is truth. And God is spirit. So it's not just knowing there's a spirit. It's not just knowing there's a truth. But you to be of that matter. And you cannot be of that. According to Genesis 1, verse 11, it says, all things must bring forth of their kind. Not just to be like, but to be the true expression of the original seed. So those who are born of the Spirit are the only ones that can worship God when it comes to true acceptance of the worshiping of God. Amen. We read again in John chapter 7, the same gospel according to John. It's John chapter 7. Let's read verses 37 and 38. 37 and 38. In the last day of the great feast, of the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here, Jesus came on the last day of the feast. People had been feasting, both in natural food and also doing that which God had commanded for them to do in worship. So these people were worshiping. These people were enjoying and participating in something that God had said should be done according to the law in the book of Leviticus. Then after everything had been done, then Jesus comes and says, if there's anyone who is thirsty. But these people were feeding, these people were drinking from the teaching of Moses according to the book of Leviticus. But here he comes, him being the truth of, or the positive of this which they were doing. It was a feast according to the book of Leviticus. But this feast was only a figure pointing to the real feast, whereby people would come to the reality of who God is. So that's why Jesus invited them on the last day of the feast, saying, he who is thirsty, let him come to the true water. For the scripture said, out of him will flow rivers of water. Now, that means being born of the Spirit of God and drinking from this fountain, it will produce in one what that fountain is. Because that fountain is not just a well, it's not just a dam, it's not just a lake, it's a spring, a fountain of water. And water continually comes out from the heart of that fountain. So if you drink water from that fountain, that water will be a living water in you. It won't be cut from the origin, from its origin. It will continually flow because it is coming from the truth.
Yeah.
So he says, if you are thirsty, you don't just have to come and drink water from anywhere. It must be from the true fountain, so that it will be a continuity of the truth of the fountain. Because Jesus Christ did not just come to give us a doctrine. He did not just come to teach us of truth. But as he said to Pilate, he came to witness truth. And those who are of truth will come to him. So the true have a true thirst. Because this thirst that we have in the flesh to drink water, it is just a shadow. It is just the negative of the real thirst that is in the true child of God.
Okay.
Who wants the truth of the things. You know, it's not just about doing something which is good or which is true. Like, when Jesus was here, demons would cry out to him, "Thou art the Son of God. Why have you come to destroy us?" Yes, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But the demons were not speaking out of the fountain of truth that he was the Son of God. And Jesus never accepted that. But when he said to Peter, Thou art Peter, what you said is not by human endowment. You have not been taught it by man, but by my Father. So the knowledge that Peter had of Jesus Christ was the true expression of that which flows from God, who is true. Though the devil said the same, but it was not out of that true fountain. That's why Jesus said, "He who is thirsty, let him come, that I may give him water." And that water is a substance of the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the true expression and image of God. So if you drink from that reality, that means you will be a real, you will be a true worshiper, because you are born of the same truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
I think also in John chapter 8, we can read also verse 30 up to 32. John chapter 8, verse 13. Let's just read it. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Yes.
Amen. Here he is telling people who had believed in him, which is a very good fundamental thing to do, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he says, it is not enough just to believe. For John says, even the devil believes in God and he trembles. So what belief is this that Jesus is talking about? It is that true faith that emanates from God himself. So they had believed in him. Why? Because Jesus had done something. That's why even when Jesus asked Peter, "What do people say I am?" They never said he was a devil. They never said he was just a philosopher. They said he is a prophet. He is John who has risen from the dead. He is one of the prophets. He is Jeremiah, Why were they saying that? They saw what Jesus Christ was doing, but that was not the true answer or the true expression of who Jesus Christ was. So here, the Jews had believed, which is a very fundamental thing. But then he says, you should continue in my word. Yes. What is that word? It's the word of truth. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a continuity when one believes in God. If he continues, nothing can continue without life.
Yes.
The continuity of that faith is when there is true life. Yes. That's why even Abraham could achieve the purpose of God, and then God would accept him. Because his faith was not just in coming out of Mesopotamia into the promised land. When he got into that land, that was not the end of his desire. There was something that was in him, pulling him to the true reality of why God was calling him. We shall see that when we go further down. So, he said to the Jews who had believed him, you must continue in my word. Because those who are of the truth, there's something that is embedded in them that will make them not to rest, nor just to slumber, without getting to the reality of the purpose of God that is in them. Because we are not just called by a mere calling. We were called, like David says, if the deep calls, there must be a deep to respond. So, when one is responding to the calling of God, it is by abiding in the same, in the word of God. Because Jesus said, the word of God is truth. When he prayed in chapter 17 of the same book of St. John, he says, thy word is truth.
Yes.
And that truth is life. So,
yes,
we get life by continuing in the same.
Yes.
You know, it is like human conception. You know, from the day of conception, there must be a link between the fetus and the mother. There is a continuity of nutrition going into this the fetus so that it can grow. Without that, if there ever comes about when the fetus is cut from the mother, it will die. It will be an abortion. But when there is that continuity, the child then will be born. Now, the child does not just live because it has been born. There must also be a continuity of that nutrition being given to the baby, and then the baby starts to grow. That's why Jesus said, you must continue. It's not just a conception. It's a continuity.
Amen.
To confirm and to supplement, to supply life to that which has begun. So we continue in the word of God.
Amen.
That is the only way whereby we shall be set free from all the falsehood of the devil. And he says here, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So true worshippers will come to the point of knowing the truth, not just by natural endowment, but by the true expression of what truth is. As Jesus says, he has come to witness. When one believes the word of God, he continues in the same, and there is a confirmation from the truth that he is of truth.
Amen.
Amen. So, that's why true worshippers are the only ones who can worship God and be accepted by God himself. Yes, as we continue in the same book of John, we go to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, we start from verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we will see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Amen. We read 24 inclusive. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, here again, these Greeks, who are Gentiles, they came to the feast. It was a feast that God had told the people to do from the book of Leviticus. Now, what these people were doing was exactly what God told them to do, that they should have this feast. But these Greeks, when they came to that feast, they were not just interested in the doings or in what was going on among the people in their worship. They wanted to see Jesus, not just to see him, his face, and what he looks like. That's why when Jesus answered them, he showed us here the true revelation of why he had come. And of those who seek him, he says, now the hour has come that the Son may be glorified. But the people had been in the feast all along. That never made glory come to God or the Son of God be glorified by people just attending a mere feast. But these Greeks, they wanted to see the positive of this negative, the positive of the feast, the reality of the feast, the true feast. Man. And then Jesus says, I am that feast, you know. That's why he says he has to die so that many can come. So people of truth would come from the truth. So Jesus, he could see now, his being here, he could not redeem or be seen by by the elected unless he has to die. That's why he says, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, God deliver me from this hour? He says, no, this is why I came. He came to die so that the door can be opened for those who seek truth. Not just those who just want to fulfill a particular commandment or just come to a feast and eat whatever is eaten at the feast and do whatever is done at the feast. But for those who are seeking the truth of the feast, as much as attending the feast is good, being at the feast is good, that shows the real that the people are committed to what God said. Even as it happened also on the day of Pentecost. It says, on the day of Pentecost, people had come from near and far and were there in Jerusalem. But the feast of the Pentecost, even as it was given in the book of Leviticus, it was not, excuse me, it was not the real thing that God desired. For on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came and filled the people. That was the true Pentecost. So those who were worshipping, many years were worshipping on that day. But there was a special group that was worshipping on that day. It was those 120 who had separated themselves to seeking, to receiving the truth. And the Holy Ghost now came to confirm that the feast of Pentecost was not just that gathering that we were doing in Jerusalem, but it was the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So that's where now true worship would emanate. It would not just come by attending a feast. As much as not just coming to attend a service will make us anything better. But for the reality, the realization of the truth of why we are gathering. We may gather, we may worship, we may sing, we may read the Bible, we may do all those things. But that is not even the truth of the purpose of God. Our coming together is to receive that truth. If we gather together and we are not in contact with the reality and truth of God, it means we are not true worshipers. Worshippers we may be, but a true worshipper worships in the same, in truth and in spirit. And we must come to the true realization of what the truth is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the book of Genesis, let's just share this small thing. In Genesis chapter 15, we hear this wonderful statement that God said of Abraham in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. When God showed Abraham the stars, God looked at the finished product. Abraham looked at the finished product. God showed him that as the stars, so shall your children be. So, God was actually showing Abraham the end of his calling, the purpose of his calling. He was told you are going to be father of many nations. So, when Abraham believed what God had shown him, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Is that right? It was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed, he accepted the promise which God had given him for him to be a partaker of that same promise. So it had to come to a point where Abraham was not only one who is looking forward to the promise, but he was so, you know, saturated by that promise that he had faith in the reality of the fulfillment of that promise. So God said, you are righteous. Can you see that? He had to express, he had to bring out the truth of what God had spoken to him. Not just hearing the truth, but he believed from his heart. And then God says, this is now righteousness. Amen. To Abraham, that faith was, you know, was his now, his makeup. He was no longer just a man following or waiting for something to happen. For faith is not just a mere hoping. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that is there, like Paul says, is the evidence. Faith is the substance of what we are hoping for. So he was called righteous because he had faith. Now, we want to see now what God meant by calling him righteous. In the book of Jeremiah, we want to read Jeremiah from Jeremiah 23. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. And we want just to read one verse from here. And we want to read Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. It says, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So, we are not only righteous, but the Lord himself is our righteousness. We are not righteous because we have done this and we have done that. Like we have seen in the feast, the people were doing exactly what God said they should do, is to have those feasts. But the Greeks, when they came, they wanted to see the truth of that feast. So they said, we want to see Jesus. And then when Jesus came, he never said, okay, you want to see me. So here I am. Look at me and see me. He says, no, these people are coming to get the reality of the feast. So he says, I have to come to the cross. That's when he says, now my soul is grieved. Because he could not receive these people into the reality of what they were looking for without him himself facing and testing death. So he had to die so that he can bring upon those who are seeking him the true righteousness of God. That's why Abraham was imputed to him righteousness, because he had received and accepted the truth of what God had already done. He showed him the stars, which were already there, which means the children of Abraham, in the mind of God and the purpose of God, they were already there, not by the making of Abraham, but by God himself giving to Abraham that seed, or giving to Abraham the children like the stars. And then it says here, the name of the Lord shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Can you see? What is righteousness? It is not our works or our doing, but the Lord himself shall be our righteousness. So without him in our life, without him in our heart, without him in our being, we cannot be righteous. Because it doesn't take just to act or to do some things so that we can be called righteous. Because we've done this good, we have helped that one, we have done that to that one, we have done good here, we have left our sins, or done everything. But it's the reality of God himself being your righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what also Paul shows us in the first book of Corinthians. We can maybe just read that again. The first book of Corinthians, it must be chapter 1. And we'll read the last two verses. Verse 30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So, what is Jesus Christ to us? He says, of him, of this Christ, you are in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Who God has made unto us wisdom. So, the Lord, the person of Jesus Christ, is what is wisdom to us. That person of Jesus Christ is our righteousness. That person of Jesus Christ is our sanctification. That person of Jesus Christ is our redemption. That's what Jesus Christ has been made unto us. We are not just righteous by our own righteousness or our own conceit. Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. Even as Jeremiah said, in that day, that his name shall be called Jehovah, our righteousness. Mm-hmm. So, that is the true expression of truth. That is the true expression of righteousness. When God himself is dwelling in us by way of our new birth, and we are called righteous, not because we've done righteous deeds, but because the righteous one is abiding in us. That's when we have the true righteousness. Okay. Amen. In the book of Romans, we read the book of Romans chapter 9. Let's just go to verse 32 and 33, those two last. Romans chapter 9. From verse 30. Okay, let's start from verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. You see, here it says the Gentiles who were not following after righteousness. For Paul says in the book of Ephesians, we were aliens from the promise of God, which was given to Israel. We were without God, and we were without life, and we were living in sin and condemned to death. But to bring forth the reality of the promise of God to Abraham, for it said, in him shall all nations be blessed.
Yeah.
It was in Abraham. How? By his faith in the word of God, when he saw the stars. Those stars were the multitudes of peoples who were born because Abraham had faith. What was the promise to Abraham? God said, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. So Abraham, he could see the multitude as he saw the stars, which were a result of the true seed which God promised to give to him. You get that? Now, for the fulfillment of that promise to be accomplished in the Gentiles, the Gentiles were in sin and in darkness. They knew not God. They did not have, or did they seek after righteousness. But they have attained righteousness. Where and how did they attain this righteousness? The scripture says, even the righteousness of faith. It was by faith that the Gentiles attained the true righteousness. Whereas Israel, who had the same promise, but after the law, they were trying to attain the righteousness of God by works of the law. It says here now, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, yet not attained to the law of righteousness, because they had a figure, they had a pointer. You know, like it's a sign that tells you are going into this place, and the place is maybe 10 kilometers from where you are. The place name is written on the sign. The arrow is pointing, but you have not reached that place. You are reading the name of the place on a signboard. But the real thing is for you to move on until you get to that place. So Israel were interested in just looking at the name of the place on a billboard without going to the reality of what the billboard is pointing to. And in verse 33, and in verse 32, wherefore? Why did Israel not reach to the law of that righteousness which they were trying to achieve by works? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So Israel was satisfied in holding something that was pointing to the reality. Israel was interested in having those feasts which were just a pointer to the real feast. But when the Greeks came, they wanted to see the substance, the reality of that which the feast was pointing to. So true worshippers, they don't just worship God by following some rules or some laws, but they must be the realization of what the law is pointing to. That's why Abraham could now live by faith to attain the promise. Abraham did not attain the promise by just because he received it and he just believed it. But it says he lived by faith. And he conquered all falsehood. He conquered all that is against the word of God, not by doing good works, but by the faith that he had in that which God had promised him. That's why then it says, those who worship God must worship him in truth and in spirit. Now let's look at Abraham. After he had seen what God had told him, He believed in God, and then to him it was imputed to be righteousness. In Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, the just shall live by faith. So those who are righteous, they attain the righteousness because of their faith in God and in God's word. And because they have faith in God's word, they shall live by that faith to attain the purpose of the calling of God.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said to those who had believed to him, you should abide in my word.
Amen.
How could they abide in the word? Just as Abraham did. He abode in the word. According to Habakkuk, those who are just, they are just because it is now the foundation. Like we all know that we come to be accepted of God by our faith, and then we are justified. Later on, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. So justification is only the best, the foundation of our being perfected. So because God has given us that faith, he has revealed to us that faith, we believe. And then God looks upon us and say, we are righteous.
Amen.
Now, because we are righteous, because we have been justified, then we have the ability to live by faith. And faith comes from the word of God.
Amen.
So it's now a continuation of that water continually living in us and flowing in our life for us to attain the true purpose of God's calling. When Abraham was given this faith, in Romans chapter 4, let's just read what happened to Abraham when he had this faith. Romans chapter 4, we go to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Paul here is saying, Abraham is our father in the faith. And here he quotes what the scripture says. As it is written, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that promised was, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Okay.
Now, you can see, Abraham now lived by faith.
Okay.
Because he lived by faith, he had to produce the life
okay.
of the faith that he was given.
Okay.
And that faith made him to be righteous before God.
Okay.
And according to Habakkuk, him being justified, he had to live by that same faith. Now, things can happen around us. But when we have that faith, we are not judged, neither are we motivated by the things that are around us or surround us. The experiences, the things that we go through, those are not the things that will make us do what we are supposed to do. But we live by the faith
Amen.
That has been granted us. And anything that is contrary to that faith, to us, it is null and void. I don't care how real it may look.
Amen.
That's why the Bible even says, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not die. But many of our brethren, many of our sisters, they have died. We have buried them. But according to the word of God, they are not dead. Because they believed the word of God. And one day, death will be swallowed in victory. Death will be revealed that it is a lie. If one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he dies and is buried, burnt or consumed, that is not the truth. He has not died. Because the word of God said, he shall not die. He may temporarily go through there. That's why David says, I don't fear even if I walk through the shadows of death. How can I fear death when I've been promised life? So Abraham, his body actually died. Sarah's womb died. But Abraham did not look at those circumstances. He did not look at those, at the things that were happening around him. Because the way they told him that you are going to be father of many nations. So the devil would come and tell him, now you think you are going to be father? Look at you are now dead. Look at Sarah. The womb is dried. And again, she's barren. She's past the age of bearing. How can you keep on thinking that you're going to have a son? Abraham never listened to that. Because he had seen the real thing. He had seen those stars. So, if you see the real thing, and that is faith. Because faith is the substance. It's not a supposition. It's not a presumption. It's not just something that you are hoping maybe it will be. But faith is a substance. And faith is the reality of the word of God in our hearts. So we live by that reality. That's how then we can worship God. We worship him not by mere acts of just preaching, singing, praying. No, we live by the very essence of God himself.
Amen.
The very truth that God is God. And whatever surrounds us cannot sidetrack us from the true purpose of God. So Abraham was called righteous, and he believed in hope, though there was no hope. He believed in the reality of God, though naturally it could not be seen. So that's how he worshipped God. When he was going through all those things, he still worshipped God by living the reality of the word which was given to him. That's how we live. That's how we worship God. That's how we are accepted of God. In the first book of Corinthians, we'll just read again. Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read from verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. These things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So the true worshippers of God are not those who are taught just by man. As much as man can teach and preach the truth, that will never make us comprehend what God has intended for us. But here it says, we are teaching a mystery.
Amen.
And the mysteries are only revealed by God.
Amen.
Man has no power to reveal a mystery.
Amen.
Amen. So, we are teaching by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
These hidden things, which men cannot see by just scratching the surface. So, true worshippers are brought to the reality, to the essence of God himself.
Amen.
To be given, not by man's enjoyment, but by God himself, giving to man the true wisdom, which comes from God, which teaches man that we may have faith in God. And when we worship God now, we are not worshiping him as from a secondary instruction. We are worshiping him because the reality of himself has been revealed to us. So it's of a truth that God has opened our hearts and is now abiding in us. And now when we are worshiping, now we are worshiping truthfully. And we hear the true works of God, whereby the scripture now says, those who are of God and have faith God are glorified in God. Who is this God? He is the Jehovah, our righteousness. He is to us our sanctification. He is to us our wisdom. He is to us our life. Even as Paul says, I no longer live myself, but for me to live is Christ. Whatever I'm doing, or even the life that I'm living now, is a product of the faith that I have in Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, that's who we are. We are not swayed by any falsehood. Temptations can come. They cannot sway us. Things can happen, but they cannot sway us because we believe. We live by faith. Amen. You see, that's why, you know, Jesus called those two disciples who were going to Emmaus. They said, you know what? The one we were looking up to that will deliver us, he is now dead. So our hope is shattered. Then Jesus says, you are fools. You don't believe what the scripture says. You are living by virtue of circumstances. Because you have seen he has died. You have seen that he has been buried. So your faith is shattered because you have seen this. It was not so with Abraham. God told him, go and give your son as a sacrifice. He went fully persuaded that God has given me this son and he wants him for a sacrifice. So he went to give him.
Amen.
And James says, what he did is an actual performance that he was doing exactly what God said he should do. And he was doing it by power of faith that God will raise him from those ashes to accomplish the purpose of the promise that he had given to him. So here we see that the princes of the world could not see these things. These things are revealed to us by the very Spirit of God. So when we worship God, it is not just because we heard good news, it's not just because we heard that this is good and that is good, but it is by the abiding Spirit that is in us. There is a continuation of the life of God, and now when God sees his life, which emanates from him, coming back to him, then to God, that is truth. God does not look to our actions, which we make, and then God is pleased by that. He is pleased by seeing himself being acted, being revealed, being enacted in our life. Amen. So faith takes us away from things that are surrounding us or things that are happening to us. I think Stephen put it like this in the book of Acts in chapter 7. book of Acts, chapter 7, we read verse 22. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Here is Moses, who believed in the word of God, that he would be, the people of Abraham would be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, or the king of the nation that would subdue them. But before that happened, before the people were freed from slavery, before the people were freed from death, before the people were freed from their enslavement, Moses looked like he was freed from that. Because when he was put on the river there in the basket, he was taken by Pharaoh or Pharaoh's daughter and kept in the palace. And he was given all the wisdom of Egypt. He was not a slave. He lived as one of the family of Pharaoh. He was enjoying the freedom from slavery, which when you look at it, that's what God said you'll do to the people of Israel. You'll free them from slavery. But Moses here is given that freedom. He's not a slave. He's not suffering. He was never whipped on his back. He never molded one brick. But he was accepted by Egypt as a free man. So what was that to Moses? To Moses, that was fake liberty. That was false freedom. That's why when he was 40, he purposed in his heart, wherein the faith of God was in his heart. So from his heart, not from outside, but from his heart, which was looking at the promise of God, he said, no, this is not freedom that I'm enjoying. This is not what God said is freedom. But there is a true freedom, is when God comes down and deliver all the people of the children of Abraham out of this bondage.
Mm.
Although he was enjoying that freedom, he was enjoying peace and everything. But when he was 40, Paul says, Moses, in chapter 11 of the Hebrews, Moses, by faith, he forsook the riches of Egypt and said, you will not enjoy sin for a short period. He wanted the reality of the purpose of God in him. That is the true worshiper. A true worshiper worships from the heart, not from circumstances surrounding him.
Amen.
You are not offended. You are not discouraged. You are not beaten off the path because of what is happening around you.
Amen.
Confusions can come. Misunderstandings can come. All those things can happen even in the church.
Amen.
But is that what guides us?
Amen.
We are not guided by, you know, our being together. We are not guided by our being of the same race. We are not guided by being of the same house, but we are guided by the faith that indwells in us.
Amen.
That is true worship. Our fellowship is with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have that true fellowship, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. That's what John tells us in the book, in the letter of John. When we have that true fellowship, it will cleanse us and will be true worshipers.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, we live by that faith. We worship God in that truth of his word being now the very life in us. like Abraham. His body was dying, Sarah's womb was dying, but he never looked at that. Things are happening around us. Misunderstandings can come. People can say this and say that. But that is not what guides us. We are guided by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe let's just read maybe from the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel. We read chapter 17. And we want to read from verse 41. First book of Samuel, chapter 17, we'll read from verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the men that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, excuse me, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the horse of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now here is David. He is challenged by this Philistine. And you know, Goliath was shown to Israel or to these soldiers, the army of Israel, as a gallant soldier. They looked to him as a great warrior whom they could not subdue. So they were all hiding in caves and things like that. And then Goliath came and expressed who he was. He cursed David by his own gods. He came with all the might and all that was necessary to do away with David. But David, when he looked at Goliath, he did not see all that the army of Israel was seeing. He was not seeing a giant of a gallant soldier.
Man.
Because David did not live by circumstances. He lived by the faith that was revealed to him. Why was David in this place? He was not there just because he liked to be in that place. They were in this land by the word of God. It is God who said to Abraham, I have given you this land. It is the same God who said to Jacob, where you are lying there, I have given that land to your children. So David was there not by circumstances. He was there because it was the word of God. And when the word of God is given to a man, it is not for a period, but it is eternal. If God gives you something, it's not just for a period. It's for eternity. It will abide in eternity. So David was not dismayed by the figure that was standing before him. He was not discouraged by the experiences of Goliath. Because he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of the hosts. This army you are defying, in his name I am coming. So, the name of God is not just a name as given, but the name of God, it depicts his character. It depicts his being. When we talk of the name, we are talking of the revelation of the mystery of who God is. So David is coming to Goliath in that reality of who God is. Can you see? He had faith. And he was not disturbed by what he was seeing. Even as his father Abraham was not dismayed or sidetracked by what was happening to him in the body. He believed in hope against hope. So, this is how we worship God. We worship him in the truth of his word.
Amen.
But we also know that the devil came into the world to bring away people from the truth and just give them the mere word. Even as the scripture is written, Paul says, the letter killeth. How can the letter kill when it is handwritten by God himself? Because the devil can play around with anything that is already there. When he came to Eve, he did not come with something that was new. He came to Eve and asked there, did God say? So he played around what God had already done. And he can turn this reality of God into a falsehood, and then people can worship. That's what God, the devil did to Eve. He turned the word of God into a falsehood and gave it to Eve. And as soon as Eve received that, from that day, whatever she would produce was death, because it was coming from the devil who took the word of God, twisted it, and gave it back to her. And everyone who is born in this world is born with a death certificate on him, because he's a product of that knowledge which the serpent gave to Eve. And maybe, in closing, we can go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. We'll read verses 7 to 9. These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. You see, the scripture is saying they draw to me with their mouth. He doesn't say they are running away from God. He doesn't say they are saying there's no God. But these people, they draw unto God with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The people here, they are coming to God only with their mouth, honoring God only with their lips, but their heart is far from God. Then they worship God in vain. But the scripture here clearly says they are coming to God. If just coming to God is all that we need, they were doing the right thing. But the scripture says they are doing this in vain, because they are not coming with their heart. Because God brings his revelation and his life into the heart of man. We have read in the scripture that we are taught wisdom which has never entered into the heart or ears of men. But this has come to us now by God revealing himself to us. And when God reveals himself, he is the true God, he will give you a true revelation, not something that is a substitute to his revelation, but the true revelation. So we see here that the people, when they want to worship God, they have to come to him in truth and in spirit. So God is worshipped in truth and in spirit. And the truth is not just by reading some verses. The truth is not just by speaking fluently. This truth is not by presenting something good, but it is the life of God in the believer. As it was with Abraham, he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. As it was with Moses, he believed God and he left the things of Egypt because of his faith that he had in God. So, truth, when we worship in truth, truth is the power to obtain the promises of God.
Amen.
Without the truth, we cannot come to justification.
Amen.
Neither can we come to sanctification.
Amen.
We cannot come to the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But from truth, all these things are embedded in us.
Amen.
That we may worship God. And God is pleased when we worship Him, not by our mouth, not by some man's teaching, but when we have faith in Him and we live according to the revelation that has been given to us from God Himself. So we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this little chopped up message which has been spoken to your people, I pray, Father God, that you take this word and make it alive in our hearts, that the speaker and the hearer may be blessed by what we have gone through, as the truth of God is revealed to us, and the truth of God abides in us. The truth of God leads us, even as we face all these challenges and all these things that are happening around us. May you, Father, by your loving kindness, bring us into that truth, whereby we shall live and be justified, sanctified, filled by the Holy Ghost, and live a life that is worthy of the gospel. May all glory and honor be to your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.